deviled eggs. Take those eggs. Oh my gosh, those deviled eggs. I wonder if they tasted good.
Probably
not. Welcome to Gilmore Guys. I'm Kevin.
I'm Demi.
And we are the Gilmore Guys. Sorry, I rushed into that. No, that was my bad.
You want to take it again?
Yeah. Welcome to Demi. I'm Kevin, guys.
I'm Gilmore.
And this is
the Gilmore Guys.
Dead.
Nailed it. Why even do a three?
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
A sweet three-peat. We just had Anthony Trolley on for a sweet three-peat.
Well, that we did.
As of recording this, that is our last episode release. We got a few in the bank, but
yeah.
That's been a funny episode to gauge reaction on. Because, what are you thinking?
I listened to it and I couldn't get through it. I was just like, oh my God, we're really this is really what happens, huh?
It is, a lot of people on Twitter said 304 is the new 109.
I believe that.
Yeah. And, well, what's funny too is it is actually divisive. It is a divisive episode
yeah.
in which I've seen plenty of people say 304 is my favorite episode of all time now. And I don't know. I think there's a happy balance to be struck somewhere in the middle. Tangents are fun,
but it got to a point where it was mostly tangents, and I realized that we were trying to get ourselves back on track, but we weren't doing a very good job.
Yeah.
And I wish I had the foresight to like have like an air horn or something to play every time we got off track, just so people would get like a Pavlovian response. Mm. Like, I don't want to hear the horn again. Let's go talk about Gilmore Girls.
True. So I wonder, we should put some sort of creative limits on ourselves for episode 404 once we get there next season. If we ever do, because I don't know how you get from Stars Hollow to Vin Diesel doing slam poetry.
I don't know exactly how you get there. It just takes an hour to get there.
Yep. Oh, boy. Well, a little other business to attend to. We had a wonderful fan by the name of Leah Alton. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. Leah Alton made a forum for the show. It's www.wegilly.com, and it's a discussion forum where you can gab all about Gilmore, all about the podcast, or guest on it, or whatnot. I've registered an account there, so I'll be around there. You gonna be around there, Demi?
Probably.
Cool. And then the other fan thing we wanted to get to is last week we got an amazing, amazing pillow in the mail from Jeanne, is that how you pronounce her name?
Oh, I think it's just Jean.
Is it just Jean?
Jean or Jeannie?
Well, so it's either Jean, Jeanne, or Jeannie Morrow. She sent us a pillow that is a cross-stitch. It's a gorgeous little pillow. It's a cross-stitch pillow that reads, "If you don't make it, it's because you suck." Which is a quote from our episode with Mr. Patrick Walsh in season 2, and it has our names on the back of it. Kevin, Demi, Patrick, Gilmore Guys 2015. And it is a work of art. Thank you so much.
It really is.
To Jean, Jeanne, or Jeannie. Or thank you to all three of them. The holy trinity of Jean, Jeanne, or Jeannies. So as always, guys, we want to give it up. To the fans, to the listeners. It's all about them. On episode 304, we gave it up to the Canadian fans. And that was a wonderful experience, I hope, for everybody.
I hope for everybody.
Or I hope for somebody. I hope one person enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it.
Cool.
The rap?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a nice rap.
So let's do it again. Let's make some magic. This is from the American iTunes. Next rap, we will be going international again. Australia, UK, Paris, France.
Ireland, Turks and Caicos,
Dublin,
Dominican Republic.
Middle Earth.
I don't know any other countries.
Westeros.
I exhausted my list of countries real early.
But for now, let's drop this.
This one's dedicated to the Gilmore Girls.
Okay. What? Yeah. Oh, now I'm feeling it.
Yeah?
Pretty good. Pretty good now. Don't know who it is? Doesn't matter.
Okay.
E. Elliott 1. Peek, Heidi, go seek. Amy Silverluda, MK Hubba, give me a peek. Wizzy Ken, Lars 00000017. I think you are pretty freaking keen. Go.
Eclecta blog, you left a review and I say thanks. Nicoletus and Terabella, Smellafella, Cinderella. I'm not just making up words, but you gave them for me.
Yeah.
That's really nice. I appreciate that. Thanks. Oh.
Jazzy Lou? Jazzy who? Crafty Ashley, you are so brash. And Lee, Jenna Sword, Audie Texas, Gabriella Alacon. Don't con us. Don't pull a fast one on us. Crater Ellis, you're the Sarah Bella Bellest. Best. These aren't words anymore.
Kata, Assisedge, that's backwards. I think that's Jessica Hudak. Oh, okay, Hudak.
Sure.
Melanie GP, I want a three-peat.
Yeah.
I want you leaving two reviews. Just kidding, you don't have to, but thanks for the one.
Yeah.
And you, Lee Sam 1190, thanks for that too. And Wiley Jean, that's Jean for sure. There's no confusion on how to pronounce your name, girl.
True. CG Gomez 28, you are great. Kaylini, thank you for not being such a meanie. Leah Sada, smiley face. That's true. It's all over the place. Thank me and thank to you. Free to be Emma. I want to give you an enema. Just kidding. That'd be weird.
Yeah.
I'm not a doctor. I shouldn't do that. Rachel Yet. Look at my butt. Welcome to my ass. Giving you sass. Do I have class?
OMG Devin, I say the same, but oh my G, you left us a review. That's so nice of you.
Yeah.
Jennifer loves Jess. Hey, you know what? I kind of do too. I'm not on the fence anymore. I'm Team Jess. We'll talk about this, dude. The K's. I know. It's a pretty big thing to drop.
Annie, MG01, this is not fun because Demi is Team Jess and he's not the best and I want him to get with all the rest of us who are Team Logan.
I don't know Logan yet.
That's true.
How could I be Team Logan?
Yeah, you can't be yet. Ooh, there's not usually revelations in the in the show wraps.
In my defense, I kind of got ahead of myself with that,
little
I think.
Bit.
Yeah.
Okay, well.
We'll talk about it.
Well, we'll talk about it in this episode. This is episode 306. Take the deviled eggs, dot, dot, dot.
Is it dot, dot, dot?
It is dot, dot. I believe so on the Netflix.
Take the deviled eggs, leave the cannoli.
Dot, 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 dot. Ooh, that's good. Leave the Nicole.
Leave the Nicole.
That's when you leave your friend Nicole at the bus stop and don't pick her up. Leave the Nicole. And the Netflix synopsis for this one is when Lorelai winds up attending Sherry's baby shower with Rory, she learns more about Christopher's life than she wanted to know. No, that's not correct.
She doesn't learn anything about Christopher's life, really.
That's not accurate at all.
It's just Sherry going like, oh man, so good that you left. And she's like, oh, yeah, wish I hadn't learned that.
It's not new info. This isn't inaccurate.
The only new info is that Christopher came back to her and everything's fine now. Like, they're not on the rocks anymore.
Right. Or there's that conversation where they're at the table and they're like, she said, oh, you know, whatever, you know, that time with Christopher that you spent and he came back, I thought we were on the rocks.
Yeah,
so I guess that's the new information is that Sherry knew and that she wasn't in the blind, but it's just kind of a perspective shift. It's not really info.
Yeah, it's barely information.
Yeah. I guess the new info is his CD collection is now rearranged into beautiful shelves, which Lorelai scoffs at.
With Wang Chung.
Wang Chung gets
a lot of
and Billy Joel.
In this episode.
Yeah. So let's get into it with a little segment we call Pop
Goes the Culture,
where we take every pop culture reference in the show, put them together in a little supercut, and see what we can make of it.
For some reason, I thought you were going to say a little segment we call something about Wang Chung.
Everybody Wang Chung tonight. Wang Chung today. This is episode 306, Pop Goes the Culture, Take the Deviled Eggs. Dot, dot, dot.
Did you make sure Andrew Jackson was on the bills, not Alfred E. Newman or someone?
Well, sometimes when I'm driving and it's dark like this, I get the sudden urge to turn the wheel into oncoming traffic.
No, do not do Dwayne from Annie Hall.
But he's our Boo Radley, and we don't have a Boo Radley. And apparently my name is to catalog companies what Brooke Shields' picture is to Chinese restaurants.
They're cousins, identical cousins.
Stop it.
I think I was reading Deanie at the time. No, for keeps.
Molly Ringwald, Randall Batenkoff. Really underrated little post-John Hughes flick.
In reality, all I have is a Jan and Dean record.
Rory, Gigi.
Oprah, Uma.
A half hour before I had Rory, I was eating a pepper sandwich watching TV. You're almost named Quincy.
She's Rand McNally.
You mind picking it up this month, sweetie baby cookie honey?
Walmart.
Excuse me?
I would be looking for my Wang Chung or Billy Joel, and I would just have to give up.
I just had to give up.
Walmart.
Walmart.
Is that the shortest cut so far?
No, I think it's just, it feels like it because it's the first one we've had in a while. That's under a minute.
Okay.
But it's not. I think there's been shorter cuts in season one or two. It's the first one, yeah.
Yeah.
In a bit. Walmart. I guess it's not pop culture.
No, kind of.
Hayes was really taking us to town.
I don't think we should change it, though.
Well, Hayes, his last name is Hayes.
Davenport.
Yeah, Davenport.
Just to catch listeners up, who was so grand, episode 306. A great non-Gilly guest.
I agree.
I would say. Open mind, open heart. His episode hasn't been released. Parker Lewis.
It will be by the time this is...
By the time this one's out. Yeah, so, I hope so. That'd be weird if it wasn't.
By the time this one is out, you've all heard it. Mm-hmm. Everybody loved it. Everyone asked for him to come back.
Okay, so you're Team Jess?
Okay. Dims? I think I misspoke. Okay, I will say...
Let's clarify.
It's hard for me to say. It's like almost a thing now that if I say I'm Team Jess, I'm sure it'll be a big deal. So let me just clarify and say that I don't think I'm fully Team Jess, but in this episode, there was not one moment where I was like, Jess, you're really fucking up.
I agree.
This episode, I either felt bad for Jess, I felt like he was being bullied, or I felt like he was doing a smart thing. I don't know.
It is weird, actually, how, and, you know, I try to keep an open mind about it, especially in the rewatch, but, and I'd be the first to, like, you know, shit on Jess or whatever, but it is weird to see everyone display such a hostility and a pointedness towards him.
Yeah.
For virtually no reason. Like, one of the first scenes is they come out of the town meeting and they see Jess driving the car, and Laura's like, oh, look who's behind the wheel again, huh? It's
like, I mean, I get the pointedness because it's like, obviously, Jess has done a ton of annoying things, but it's almost a weird pointedness because this wasn't this pointedness is happening now that we're supposed to like Jess. Like,
oh, interesting.
We didn't get any of this. Like, I mean, they were all like, oh, Jess, but it wasn't so strong. Like, they would never have thought about egging his car, like, back so when he was dumb. Stealing baseballs. But now that he's good, it's like, I can't feel good about this from your point of view, guys. Like, I know that they walked away at the end, like, how cathartic. Everything's great, but it's like, he didn't do anything this episode.
Oh, interesting.
He worked so hard for that car.
Yeah, like, because the whole thing, he got a job at Walmart. And he saved up his money, which Luke bags on him to no end, which I do find to be a fun dynamic, actually, is Luke laughing at this 17-year-old boy.
But also, part of me was just like, what's wrong? Like, let him work at Walmart. Don't make fun of him for this. He's
Mr. All-American boy over
he's putting
there.
He's like putting his life together, and Luke is just like, you fucking nerd.
It is, that is a very funny point. But yeah, there's a weird... So do you think, because you said it would make more sense if they were doing this in his car, really, you know, grinding his gears about everything in episodes past where he is stealing baseballs and gnomes and crashing cars and doing close-up magic. But now when there's the only thing he truly does in the episode, there's no Shane in the episode, there's no weird pranks in the episode. His storyline is like, I got a job.
Right.
And I'm like trying to be responsible. Like, do you think they kind of just threw that out? So it's like, okay, like him.
I think it's this thing of, I don't know, part of me feels like it's a misstep on the writer's part. Not that I could speak to what their motivations were, but I feel like now that we see Rory not liking Jess, we're almost supposed to be on her side. Like, yeah, forget Jess.
Well, that's what's so weird about it is how bipolar the switch is.
Yeah.
In the episode prior, when they're all soaking wet.
Exactly.
In front of the house. Just sopping wet. Both of them. We talked about, they have a very nice and civil conversation. They're like, you good? How are things? Cool. And it's like, they just have a human moment, which is rare for them. And they're not like, you know, they're not bantering in a way that's like, covering up something else or some other deeper flirtation.
And they're not at each other's necks about it.
Yeah, they're not at each other's necks. And it's not really until Lane goes into full-on attack mode.
Which was unnecessary.
And very unearned.
Yeah, very unprovoked.
Oh, look at the car. And then Rory's just like, yeah. And then she just kind of joins in.
Right.
Rory, unfortunately, you know, not to draw this, I think we've talked about this before, but is a little Bella-esque. And at least in this episode, and I feel like in episodes coming up too, just a very passive character in general. You don't see Rory making a lot of active decisions. Even in this, she seems kind of swayed by Lane's fervor and anger.
Yeah.
And this, I guess there's some activity in, you know, at Sherry's party in that storyline. But otherwise,
she just wants to, egging the car is like her only active decision.
Okay, that's true. There is an, because she does goad Loreline to doing that, which, by the way,
shouldn't have happened. No. Really bad move.
What a dick move.
Yeah.
First of all, one of the questions from our Twitter Q&A. I'm glad we settled on that for a theme song.
Yeah.
There was a lot of auditions, a lot of finalists.
Twitter Q&A.
But one of them was Paige at P. Fernberg asks, if you had to devil egg someone's car, who would it be?
Like in real life or in the show?
We'll do both.
All right. In real life, if I got a devil, if I got a, guys, listeners, if I got a devil egg someone's car, it's going to be Kevin's. I got to be honest with you. It's going to be Kevin's. God, I hate that guy so much. If I got a devil egg someone's, what was that?
Oh, sorry. I took my headphones off. Were you talking?
No. Okay. If I got a devil egg someone's car, it's probably going to be Taylor Dosey's.
True.
Yeah.
I would devil egg, if he was still alive, I'll say it, Osama bin Laden's car.
Hey.
I would devil egg it.
Hey, now.
What? I'm sorry. I'm a little political. I'm a little edgy like that. But yeah, I would devil egg Osama bin Laden's car.
Okay, well, now
car.
We're going to lose all the Osama supporters, so.
I would devil egg the ISIS vehicles.
Hey. Come on, man.
In that super controversial sketch
from
SNL.
Cut this out. I don't want to lose all the ISIS supporters, okay?
At @M_Marty asks, when they threw the eggs, that kind of bounced off, but in the next shot, they were perfectly on the car. Did that bother y'all? Is the question. Because he did only throw like 3 eggs in the scene. And then
when Jess wakes up
in the next day, it's covered in the eggs.
They run out of eggs very clearly after like 6.
Yeah.
And then when they come back, it's like 70 birds shed on the car somehow overnight.
With food poisoning.
Exactly. Yeah. So it's almost like stuff. They went to go make more deviled eggs and then came back.
Greer Thibodeau. Assume that's how it's pronounced. As good standing gentlemen, I know you would never egg a car.
I'll egg a car.
Okay. Well, Greer was wrong. I wouldn't because I am a good boy. But out of curiosity, if you were to do something of such a nature, would devil eggs be your choice? I was curious because one of my friends had mashed potatoes thrown at her car while parked in front of my house.
I
like the visual that her friend is parked in front of her ass,
yeah.
Still in the car,
yeah.
And someone throws
it's like taking
potatoes.
A phone call and someone doesn't see her because it's too dark. No, I would never use deviled eggs. Deviled eggs are like a food you have to prepare.
Yeah, that's
like
fancy
the whole
thing
about eggs is like if you're egging someone's car, you go get the eggs or you have the eggs. If you just have deviled eggs, you shouldn't be egging someone's
car. I wouldn't use any leftovers because those eggs were leftovers from the Sherry baby shower, which we'll get to.
Which can be traced back to Sherry.
Right, Sherry darling.
Some good CSI cyber work.
Oh boy, that's a show that exists.
Yep.
Academy Award winner Patricia Arquette stars in it. And regular size Bow Wow.
Thursdays on CBS. I don't know what day it is.
Yeah, CSI buddies. But I feel like, yeah, the pranking days where food products are concerned is kind of over for me. I think college was the end of it. And two, anytime you get leftovers, bro, don't waste those.
Yeah,
on
eat those. That's another meal.
That's another way in which Rory and Lorelai, I think, demonstrate a bourgeois decadence and frivolity in that they won't take leftovers. They don't need them. They're so rich. Whereas, you know, if I go to Chili's...
I'll throw these in an egg.
And I'm getting chicken tenders, or the crispers, actually.
I was about to say.
And I have, like, 2 left. I'm taking those home, and I'm eating them for dinner the next night.
Right.
I'm not throwing them at Jess's car. Yeah. Ooh, that'd be a romantic dinner for 2.
Right? Light up some candles.
Have you ever been to a date at Chili's?
No.
Okay, me neither. That's probably good. But overall, yeah, I feel like there is a weird... everyone weirdly antagonizes Jess in this episode.
Yeah.
To the point where...
I felt like he was being bullied.
Yeah, he was being bullied. Totally.
If it were a nerd in Jess's... Like, if it weren't a cool guy, I'd be like, leave him alone.
Yeah, leave Jess alone. That would be the tagline. But overall... So they're setting up that. And then the other major storyline in the episode would be Sherry's baby shower.
Sherry baby.
Sherry darling.
Oh my God. The game that they're playing, this is an offhand comment, but the game they're playing where she can't sing baby during karaoke was the worst thing.
That was the worst thing in the world.
It was.
Oh my gosh.
This episode had both the worst scene and the best scene of the season.
Really?
Well, we'll talk about the best scene.
Okay, well, we'll talk about this. That to you is the worst scene?
It's not genuinely the worst scene. Why do you think the best scene for sure is in here?
Did you like how they quoted Bane from Batman when they said,
"Let the games begin!
Let the games begin!
Let the games begin!
Let the games begin! Sorry, baby." What a lovely, lovely voice.
What was the one
Sherry,
where they were like, because there was that montage, which this is the first montage of any sort
set to
that
Wayne
we've
Chung.
Seen in Gilmore Girls. Yeah, which is great. Like, I did think it was so funny, all the music choices. Stars Hollow to Helen Pye for picking all the, like, the Wayne Chung song. And then whatever the saxophone song was, I was just like, did you hear that? And they comment on it when they're in the bathroom, but it was so hilarious.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They were talking about, like, bam, the weird music.
Bam. Yeah, it's just
it was
the
like,
worst saxophone,
that was
light
Daybreak,
jazz music.
What you were playing just now.
Yes, but I don't know any other saxophone solos.
I know that and Baker Street. And then all the Bleeding Gums Murphys hits.
Baker Street's good. And then, of course, Clarence Clemons.
Nope, don't know.
May he rest in... Okay. So that whole thing, Sherry... Again, she displays this energy that's so aggressive and so cheery, and you never, I feel like as a viewer, you never have the room to say, like, oh, well, she's kind of being awful right now. She's being difficult.
I don't think she has any emotions. I think she is
really?
A robot. She's like a robot.
Yeah.
If it were revealed that she were a robot, I wouldn't be that so out of character. I'd be like, I guess that's a weird twist, but it makes sense.
Well, isn't it interesting, too, how in one of the episodes prior with Sherry in season two, she said, oh, you know, I want a relationship with Rory, but talking to Lorelai, she's like, you and
we don't
I don't have
to
be
exactly.
Friends.
That's why I was like, why did you invite her? Why were you so steadfast about her coming?
And that's the thing that might be the clue to, like, are you actually trying to rub this in her face? Are you actually, like, in a way, like, establishing your territory and being like, oh, you know, not too many... What does one of the dumb broads at the party say? Not too many Christophers come around.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like there's a lot of scenes in this show where there's a group of women and you're supposed to not like any of them, whether it's the DAR women or all the Amy Poehler moms from the public school or these awful women. I just feel like there's been a lot of them. And I don't know if that's just like a recent thing, but...
I'm wondering if you're not supposed to like the women or you're just supposed to find them like annoying in that context. Because it's just like, I feel like it's just supposed to... You're not supposed to like them, but it's like you're not supposed to like
them. Yeah, they're not
event.
Like villains or something,
right.
But...
It's just not... an event that anyone's going to be like, yeah, baby shower.
Yeah, but Paladinos are really good at creating scenes with a bunch of vaguely unsettling white ladies. I will say that.
They offered Lorelai like 3 mojitos.
Yeah, so much drinking at
mojito?
A baby shower.
Well, you know.
By the way.
Not everyone's pregnant.
True, but it seems a little, I don't know. Green. Let's talk about green. Green is the new pink. Green, pink is out. Green is in.
That's
for
weird.
Baby girls. Was that the case when this episode aired in
2002? No, there's, it's not the case now. Unless they wouldn't have gone back.
I hope
like,
not.
Like, I feel like, if anything, it would be, like, yellow or another very easily brightened color. Like, it'd be blue more than it would be green.
Yeah, green's the army.
But I feel like
green is Luke.
We're slowly moving away from the idea that, like, all right, girl is this color and boy is this color. So.
But you know what's keeping that alive is the gender reveal parties. Where it's like you cut the cake, and then you tell the baker what the gender is, or you give him a piece of paper with the gender. You've heard of that, right?
No.
Okay. Real quick, not to troll you up.
Let's have this aside that is very relevant to my ignorance.
No, just talking about baby colors. people often do gender reveal parties where they get the gender of the baby from their doctor or whoever. He puts in an envelope, piece of paper. They give it to a baker or someone else, some other party. And then that party knows. And then they prepare something for them to reveal the gender.
Right.
So what's very common is that it'll be cake. So they cut the cake and then whatever color the cake is, because they can just see the frosting from the outside. If it's pink, it's a girl. Blue, it's a boy.
That's so extravagant and unnecessary.
I've seen one gender reveal. I was at a gender reveal party where it was a big cardboard box full of balloons. And whatever balloons floated out, that was the gender of the baby.
When I eventually make someone pregnant, which is how I'm going to phrase it, when I eventually just baby it up.
Oh, good.
When I inseminate, how many awful phrasings can I get out of this? When I...
keep going.
When I begrudgingly bring life into this world with the help of a... Anyway, when someone...
When you make love to your soulmate and you create life from the life that already exists in both of you.
When someone becomes pregnant at my hand, I don't know how to not phrase this properly. Anyway, when that happens, if I am in charge of a gender reveal party, I'm going to make it the kind of thing where 1,000 pounds of confetti shoot out from like a field, all of the same color.
Can I tell you the best gender reveal party I've ever been to and I ever will go to?
I can't believe you've been to multiples, but
I've
continue.
I've been to two.
So of the two,
right?
There's a winner and a loser.
They're what, literally, in this case. So what it was is, it was a couple that knew a woman who works in stunts, who does stunts on like TV shows and movies, like The Bourne Identity, and she's like the go-to lady of her like size and of her hair color. She's like stunt lady. I won't say her. Well, it doesn't matter.
Did she jump? Was there like a blue window and a pink window? And
here's the deal.
Oh, no,
she recruited one of her stunt people friends that was a guy.
Yeah,
and they fought to the death. Like fought to the death, quote unquote. They had like a really awesome looking choreographed fight, and whoever won, that was the gender of the
baby.
That's
actually really cool.
That was badass. That was great. Everything else, dumb.
I just imagine like they go to a building and it's like drum roll please, and there's a blue window and a pink window, and whichever one gets broken is the one that like the baby is.
That'd be perfect.
That's what I'm gonna do.
But it was so good. There's video of it that exists. I was supposed to video it, but I slept in, unfortunately.
Whenever I baby make with a woman, I'm going to do that window thing. I'm going to stop saying this.
You should. Well, let's talk about, one of my favorite scenes, actually. It's so small and so inconsequential, but it has one of my favorite quotes.
Wait, is
Mr.
it the...
Grind it till you find it, huh?
Oh, Gypsy's back.
Gypsy. Someone on Twitter suggested, don't you want Gypsy and Jackson to get together? I'm like, no. They suggested Suki's become boring in her marriage.
Suki's become boring because she's not there.
She's not
anymore.
Here. Yeah, she hasn't been in it for like 2 eps.
It's too many eps.
Too many eps, like Mike and Omar. Or what was that?
I think that's just enough eps.
That great quote Babette had in the first town meeting.
Is it dumped on Taylor?
Oh, I thought you were going to say... Wow, I keep messing up quotes. I thought you were going to say Babette's great quote was,
who's the fox, Patty?
Who's the fox, Patty?
Who's the fox, Patty?
When Jesus walks in, who, by the way, is Azamat from Borat.
Yeah, that's Borat's buddy.
Yeah.
He's in other stuff, though, so he's like an actor. Yes,
well,
he was
in this.
As far
as I'm concerned.
He was in this. I think he was in one episode of... he probably wasn't. But maybe. It's possible.
You just wanted to play the Seinfeld drum.
Yep. I like that they've given Miss Patty a little man friend.
Yeah.
That was so funny. Oh,
does he come back?
I don't recall. But so it's not a spoiler because I literally can't remember. But I want to say no. It's not like a storyline. I mean, she's whoring around town. That's cool. But did you like that part? Is that a weird thing to say?
I was like, did you say horn or horny?
She's whoring. By the way, you know how many hashtag Kevin's horny tweets there were?
Not enough, no matter how many it
Too
was.
Too many.
I think not enough. Keep it going, guys. Horny Kevin.
Oh, please don't.
No one knows who it is. There's so many Kevins.
But then when he comes in, when Borat's friend comes in with the roses, and the Stars Hollow town meeting turns into a taping of Married with Children.
Oh my
they all
God.
Go, ooh.
Except, they're like seven-year-olds.
Except for Luke, who has the best expression on his face. He's just like glowing in a way that we have not seen on
he's
the
show like
before.
He's like happy glowing?
He's like, yeah.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Yeah, so for any gillies out there, rewatch and rewind that scene.
It was super sweet to realize that all of the town's people are protective of everyone in the town and not just Lorelai. Like, you know how...
Oh, like with Patty, yeah. That they're, like, rooting for.
Exactly. Yeah. Except for Taylor. Apparently, everyone's just like, oh, Taylor, get over yourself. When he wants to kill the birds because they keep pooping, I laughed so hard. Everything Taylor does is just, like, a gold mine to me.
Yeah, it's pretty great.
Yeah.
I think they ruin his character later on in season 7.
Oh, great.
This is what I've heard. This is what I've heard from people who have, like, reported back to me from the front lines of
Taylor
season
joins
7.
Taylor joins a white supremacist party.
Well, there's this whole storyline where he shaves his head and he's like, well, the town regulation should
Track
have the Klan.
I don't know any black people.
Oh, no. But,
I'm smiling.
But that... It's okay, Demi's smiling. the townies, they really get kind of tone deaf in season 7. So like Babette, Miss Patty, all those people.
I can't believe they're still around in season 7.
Yeah.
I'm happy about that.
Yeah, they're not dead.
Well, I mean, just like, in my still head, active. these are people who will go on to success. And it's like, in season 7, I feel like they've got to be doing something else. Especially Sally Struthers.
You mean the cast members?
Yeah.
I think it's an easy payday, though. Like, you never have more than like 2 shoot days on the show.
Yeah.
If you're a townie. I would assume. I don't know. But... The town meeting, and then the whole subplot of the protester, which is actually a great, maybe my favorite thread in the episode.
See, that's the scene. The last scene with the protester at the end of the episode is by and far the funniest scene of this entire show. It's serious.
Of the entire
show. I can't think of anything that made me laugh more.
I mean, it was, yeah.
And it's especially fun to watch if you have the subtitles on Netflix.
What does it say on the subtitles?
Says, so when he's yelling, it goes, Ix crusty sonicello. Don't know what that means. And then it goes, dupe ba noodle stews.
Dupe ba noodle stews.
Means nothing. And then in all caps, he yells, Benny from mus damn Marcusel. It's all gibberish.
Oh.
But still, it's like... It's honestly like a Monty Python sketch, just watching this guy from afar try to get the things right and have like Babette yell, it's flipped around. And then when he tries to flip it around, it rips.
It rips.
It was beautiful.
Yeah, it was very executed. Well supported. It was very well choreographed.
It made me laugh harder than anything else in the show.
My favorite is, it was Miss Patty's like line at the end where she's like, oh, well, at least he's cleaning up after himself or something like
he's
that.
He's an environmentalist.
Yeah, he's so...
I do love that he refuses the help of the one person that he crosses paths with. He's just like, no, I've got this.
Yeah. And that also...
It was like a Whitest Kids You Know sketch. That's why it made me laugh. It was framed like you don't know who this person is. You can't make out anything they're saying. You know the vague action of what they're doing.
Yeah.
You don't know... Like, you can't see them very well at all.
If you had to guess, because this is a question on Twitter or Facebook, if you had to guess what he was protesting, what do you think it was?
I mean, the whole thing is that we're not supposed to know, but I would say prices...
There was an R on it. We know that there was an R
That's
on the
true.
Banner.
Re-election... For someone,
ooh.
For the one town mayor.
He was protesting re-election.
Yeah.
He wanted term limits on Taylor's, what is he, the stateman, city man?
Town council.
Town select, yeah.
City councilman.
City councilman, something.
Town councilman.
The mayor, because the mayor left.
Jess, are you a gigolo?
Did you like that?
I did, I loved it.
Yeah,
because I was thinking
great. You were thinking...
When he's like, I go to a place and exchange services for money, I was like, we're getting the after-school special episode here.
That didn't strike me as a gigolo line. That's so funny, because usually double entendres on like sitcoms or TV shows are right. written where it's like, okay, you wouldn't say that in real life.
Exactly.
But I just thought he was being very... That is how that character would be opaque in real life.
Yeah.
So it didn't strike me as a... That's funny.
I didn't think he was actually going to be a gigolo, but I also didn't think that they would say, Jess, are you a gigolo, which made me laugh.
Well, wait till season 5, dude.
When Jess becomes a gigolo?
Yeah, well, yeah, his spinoff is called Hung. It was on HBO for 2 seasons. It did not get renewed.
Sorry, Thomas Jess.
It might have just been 1 season, actually. Now I don't remember.
Well, didn't he go on to do... He's not Big Love, is he? Is that someone else?
Milo?
No, Tom
Jane? I might have been. I don't know.
Wait, Milo was in Hung?
No.
Oh. I'm very confused. Who's on first?
Milo.
Okay, that makes sense.
Milo.
Speaking of Netflix captions,
yes,
real quick.
Yes.
The captions name Sherry's baby as GG, like the letters G and G.
Mm-hmm.
That's a weird name. If it were GG, like one word, four letters, great. But
G-I-G-I?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's always how I've heard it.
Exactly.
And that's, I feel like I've seen it written down at some point in the series.
I hope that that's just a mistake on Netflix's part, because I was like, that's a weird, that's GG Allen, the weird punk rocker.
Yeah, and it's like just Gilmore Girls.
Yeah. Ooh, maybe it's a little reference.
Oh, it's a little nod. This episode of the podcast is brought to you by Squarespace. Now, Squarespace is, I'm going to say it, gang, it's a product I actually use. I've been using it for 10 years now. I've made every single website I've made in the last decade using Squarespace, because Squarespace actually has everything I need. If you want to start a completely personalized website with a new guided design system, Squarespace Blueprint is your answer. Choose from professionally curated layout and styling options to build a unique online presence from the ground up, tailored to your brand or business, and optimized for every device. Easily launch your website and get discovered fast with integrated optimized SEO tools, so you show up more often to more people and grow the way you want. You can do so much with Squarespace, like email campaigns for outreach. You can have analytics to find out who's visiting your website and why. And you can have eShop e-commerce functionality. I used that when I was doing my little bake shop on there for a while. I stopped doing it, but man, the website I had for a little bit looked really good because I used Squarespace. And there's so much I didn't know about setting up my shop that they were able to answer for me over the chat and their award-winning 24/7 customer support. So right now, go to squarespace.com for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, go to squarespace.com/Gilmore Guys to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or a domain. That's squarespace.com/Gilmore Guys. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Now, let's talk about your social battery. What is it right now? Is it drained? Is it bursting with energy? Why is it at the level it's at? There's all these external factors that can make it the way it is. Maybe you're less social during certain seasons. Maybe you're experiencing a lack of boundaries with certain people that's making it more drained than it needs to be. Well, either way, it can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves thin, especially with social gatherings picking up after the winter. What's the right amount of socializing for you? And how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people, or maybe you need a little more alone time. Well, either way, therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I've been in therapy for 11 years now, and it has been vital and crucial for figuring out how to not overexert myself socially, to keep my battery at a good charge, to not keep it too drained when I'm dealing with all the people that I actually want to be dealing with, and not dealing with people in the way that I don't want to be, which is, of course, due to a lack of good boundaries or how to cope with people. And you learn how to do those things with therapy, because therapy gives you the tools to tune in to yourself and understand, oh, I need this. I don't need this. I need to communicate this. I need to say this. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Gilmore Guys today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Gilmore Guys. Okay, so Ashley Holiday on Facebook says, I don't hate Sherry's idiot friends, but I do hate the casting director who hired the actresses to play them, and I'm not terribly happy with whoever slept through the writing the script for that ever-loving party. It's the most poorly written part of the entire show.
Mojito?
I disagree.
Where do they
that.
Get all those poppers, and why were they just setting them all off?
To symbolize how she got pregnant, dude.
But
it's a metaphor.
Then you set one off.
and aim it at Sherry.
Yeah. You set the one off.
That'd be terrible.
Well, you don't aim it at... never mind. Busted. Let's stop talking about coming.
To America.
Let's stop talking about coming. Let's stop talking about coming.
Thoughts of this from Meg Barrett, at Meg Barrett 17. Thoughts on the line, no one likes the British or buses.
Oh, I laughed a lot at it, but I was also like... What a weird joke. No one likes the British or buses.
I don't love buses, but I do like the British. So Taylor does not have a
As
point there.
A British, I'm going to say no one likes the British.
You're a British?
Yeah, you don't know I was born in London.
Oh, wow. Now it's time for a segment we call Where You Feed, I Will Swallow, where we talk about the food on this show.
Yeah.
Rory says she's starving. Lorelai goes and gets some ice cream. That happens at one point. Oh, you know what we do need to address before we go on with Where You Feed, I Will Swallow? Is on Gilmore Guys, we want to take responsibility for our actions and we want to come forward when we screw up or make mistakes. And I think it's worth talking about now because this is the best time.
In a better time like the present.
In Gilmore Guys Volume 3, I read an email from someone who didn't give me their name, and she signed it Squeegee Beckenheim and Tukey Clothespin. And I said, oh, that's so funny that she made up those names. And I did not...
Oh!
I didn't remember. That's actually from the teaser of this episode.
So maybe it was Lorelai emailing us. Dare to dream.
Wow. But at any rate...
To dream, perchance to sleep.
Daddy screwed up.
Please don't call yourself Daddy.
Papa made a big boo-boo. And I really want to apologize to our listeners, to you, Demi... And to the Gillies out there listening to this, because I failed you. This is my Brian Williams moment. I feel like it's on par with what happened with him.
Well, you know the whole part about an apology is I don't have to forgive you, so.
True. So, I just wanted to
imagine
take a
moment being the
for
person
that.
Who says that as someone's trying to apologize. Like, well, you know I don't have to forgive you. It's like, okay, should I keep going?
All right. Interesting.
Now it's time for where you tweed, I will hollow.
Oh, is that the fashion report?
That is.
Fashion. I feel like it was better that time.
It was.
Maybe those warm-ups helped. Just his dumb pop collar on his jean jacket.
Yeah,
stupid.
I really wish we'd seen his blue Walmart vest.
I know. But maybe we will. Maybe we will in a future edit.
Okay, we won't.
Okay.
I don't think they could get the rights to show anything Walmart.
I think we might, actually. Now I don't remember. I think we might. We'll see.
Sherry's dress at the bachelor party looks like something a golden girl wears to the Emmys. Or like an old, like an older person wears to like a gala, you know?
Yeah.
Not too flashy, but still it's got like patterns and is sort of sheer.
Sure. I didn't notice that as much as I noticed Lorelai's shirt at the
Rhinestone
baby shower.
Cowboy.
She looked like... Lorelai in that at that party looked like when Quentin Tarantino goes to Austin, Texas,
yep.
And he tries to dress up like a native.
Which
and,
is so weird. He has a house in Austin. I feel like we've talked about this.
Oh, no, we haven't.
Ooh, there is a castle that was used in the movie Blank Check that Robert Rodriguez used to own and Quentin Tarantino now owns.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, I used to watch Blank Check with my friends and go get ice cream sandwiches and drive up to that house and just sit outside.
That is a Bruce Springsteen song called Mansion on the Hill.
Mansion on the Hill.
That's Blinded by the Light.
I don't
with
think
the
so.
The words Mansion on the Hill. Okay.
Those revved are... up ice cream sandwiches in the middle of the night.
Were there any other fashion things you noticed?
Nope.
Me neither. Okay.
Fashion. Man, we went out on a low note.
Went out on a low note. Oh. One thing, there's that scene at Luke's in Act 2 of the show where he comes in and he talks to someone in the diner. He's like, you got this taken care of? Or something like that.
Luke
Do you remember
does?
That? Yeah, Luke comes in. This is the same scene when Taylor's talking to the priest and the rabbi.
Oh, I thought that was you.
By the way, their friendship is wonderful, isn't it?
It was Abbott and Costello and Statler and Waldorf at the same time.
Yeah, it was great. How they're like bros.
I always leave a dollar. For your singing voice, you should leave two.
And they're like, oh, you talk to God? How interesting.
He's
they're
so
like
great.
Making fun of his religiosity, which is a beautiful thing. That relationship and their friendship continues throughout the show. That's kind of a runner,
yeah.
Which is great. But Luke comes in and talks to a guy who's not, he doesn't call him Caesar. But it's not Caesar, and it's not Caesar 1.0. I don't know who it is, but he's like, oh, I'm going to go upstairs and take care of something.
Does the guy say anything?
Yeah, he does have lines, so it's not just background.
How did I miss this?
I don't know.
Like, am I watching like every other episode or every other scene in this show?
Maybe. You might be blacking in and out.
Oh, Kirk's gibberish on Cars was hilarious.
Oh, that's pretty great.
Luke's,
yeah.
I'm so glad he called him out on it, because I was like, oh, I don't know anything about Cars. And then Luke was like, no, it's Kirk. Kirk knows nothing about Cars.
No, and that's what's so funny is I had the same reaction, Damien. I was like, oh, interesting. And then Luke's like, what? You're not saying real words.
Dual piston engine, all wheel rear gear shaft.
And then...
Man, I wish my mom would let me buy a car or a bike or roller skates. Kirk is the saddest
person. There is a real Norman Bates thing going on.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
I mean, yeah, we'll come in. I feel like we've talked about this before, the Bates connection, the less popular children's television show. Did you like how the boss exterior was like right across the street from Stars Hollow? They were in the car, they're like, hey, look, we're in Boston. Let's go to Sherry's. And it's just like, it's just Stars Hollow again.
I didn't even notice.
Really?
No.
Oh, so it did look like Boston.
No, it didn't look, I mean, no,
it didn't look
of,
like anything.
Honestly, this episode is, the show has never seemed more like it was shot on a lot. Because you see, like, every angle when they're watching the protesters, and it's like, okay, this is a wide street. That's probably, like, if you turn there, there are some offices.
Yeah.
Like, it was all very Lottie, but I didn't think, oh, there's Stars Hollow still for some reason. I just thought, oh, there's, like, the one secluded section with bushes and stuff.
Let's talk about that scene where Lane confronts Jess for no particular reason.
Let's.
This, unfortunately, Lane was reduced to... how she relates to Rory. No talk of her band or anything in this ep. There will be in the next ep. She has a little bit more of a
story. She write a song called Ass Boy with a Fast Car.
Ass Boy with a Fast Car. Yeah,
you got a fast car. You're going to drive it to Walmart.
Welcome to my ass car. But she gets real aggro with Jess. In this scene, there was a hair on the camera lens during
what?
A very long shot. And it was a hair in a way where it's not like you could clearly see that it was a hair like on the lens.
Yeah.
But it was one of those where it must have been on the top of the hood because it would change. At first, it kind of looked like a lens flare changing with the light, but it was static when the camera was moving. So there's just something that got caught on there. The only thing is like it was kind of a really long take. So, or I remember it being long. So... hopefully no one else notices but me. The technical perfection of the show. Otherwise, okay, so we talked about that, the Boo Radley of Stars Hollow.
Did you notice when Taylor drops a, could this meeting be any more disrupted?
Oh, he was doing a Chandler.
He was Chandler Dosey.
Oh my, Chandler Dosey. What else would Chandler Dosey say?
Now I'm just doing motions.
He just did a motion.
I did the Chandler,
but no
like,
one
what?
Can hear it. Oh man.
I want a soda shop in town. He just does that where he just says something and gets like an inflection.
That's Philip Seymour Dosey.
Philip Chandler Dosey.
Jeff on Twitter writes, Luke is being such a jerk about Walmart. Way to encourage your unmotivated nephew to be more active.
Agree. And it was sort of this like weird, like, look, if you work at Walmart, you should be embarrassed. And it's like, no, if you're working hard at Walmart, good.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Very agreeable.
Luke is, in these past few episodes, has been sort of like... you know, he's all about personal freedoms unless it comes to certain things.
He loves personal freedoms.
But if you breastfeed or go to Walmart, I swear to God.
Oh, God! Why? Why?
Why, lady?
No Dean in this app.
Eh.
Do
no Paris in this app, unfortunately.
Unfortunately, I feel like the episodes where they're not there suffer.
Yeah.
No Paris and No Emily does not a great A-plus episode make, I would venture. You gotta have one of those, I think, to have like a great app.
Yeah.
I would say. As we'll see in the next one, an A-plus app. Paige also asks on Twitter, do y'all still like Sherry after episode 306?
I can't hate Sherry because she's not doing anything wrong.
Yeah.
It's just this weird, like, I feel like if I were her friend and I were in this scene, I'd take her side and be like, look, I know you're not mean on purpose, but you gotta listen to yourself
sensitive.
When you talk. Yeah,
but she really, I truly, I don't, at the end of the day, think it is a manipulate, because we talked about before, like, oh, because she doesn't think her and Lorelai have to be friends. I do think...
I don't think it's manipulation, but
it's
like...
It's just ignorance, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's she's too written for me to hate. She's a character that is designed to be like, don't hate her, but also, look what she's doing to Lorelai, the girl you love.
Right. At Poop Doctor...
Poop Doctor...
writes, do you think Stars Hollow has a strip joint or a brothel?
Yes. Definitely. 100%.
Miss Patty runs it.
No, Miss Patty definitely frequents it to the point where if we ever...
it's a male strip joint.
I think it's a mixed strip joint because they don't have space for two.
Okay.
I imagine that Miss Pat, if we ever... So here's exactly what would happen if we ever went to the strip club.
Set the scene.
I don't know who's going to the strip club. I'm going to say... Rory goes in there to find Jess.
Okay.
No, that's not real. Lorelai goes in there and finds Luke, and Kirk is there. Mm-hmm. And Kirk gets embarrassed that he is seen there and runs out.
Hello.
And as Lorelai is leaving, Miss Patty comes in, and everyone goes, Patty, in the same way that everyone goes Norm on Cheers. And cut.
Patty, how's the world treating you, Patty?
Couldn't be better. I was telling my kids the other day how I danced with Tito Puente in a cage.
You know what soundboard we didn't get to in the last episode?
What?
That kind of glossed over. So this will be kind of a bonus for all those 305 listeners out there.
Bonus.
I got a real annoyed. And we, you know, we, sure. We have a lot, we have sympathy for Jess in this episode.
Sympathy for the devil.
In a way. Wait, so do we say yes to the Jess in this episode? That's the question we should ask ourselves.
In this episode, yes.
Okay.
He doesn't do anything wrong. And he's... So his dynamic with Luke is less menacing and more, like, charmingly sarcastic now. Mm-hmm. That argument where he has, where he's like, oh, I didn't even think you had to put gas in this thing. I was like... That's Mark Wahlberg. But I didn't think of it like... Oh, you're being so mean. Why are you doing crimes and stuff?
Yeah, when Luke's checking out his car, it's like, oh, yeah, he's lightened up.
He's got over crimes.
Just sign the registration.
Exactly. Yeah. He's gotten over crimes. He's trying to put his life together. It's just, he's just being real sarcastic about it, which I can't hate him for. Right. Everyone's sarcastic. So I'll say yes to the Jess in this episode. Overall, he's got a ways to go before I can say yes.
But on an episode-by-episode basis, I will say yes to the Jess
mm-hmm.
in this episode. In 305, however, there was a moment where when Rory chases after Jess because she doesn't know how to turn a knob.
it's hard to do, man.
For a sprinkler. He has this line for her.
What's the matter, other than the fact you're obviously out of towels?
Towels.
Towels.
Out of towels.
Out of towels.
That was like his new cones.
I feel like he always has to take a breath at the end of a line.
Out of towels.
Little bit.
He's like, what's the matter? Over the obvious fact you get towels.
Women, right?
just Jess sound.
Am I right, ladies?
Am I right, ladies? Am I right, ladies, babies?
In cones.
Then.
Hey, boo-boo.
In cones.
Hey, do you think boo-boo is a nice term of endearment? Like, in a playful way? Because people call other people their boo.
Yeah.
But I just had an argument with someone that...
About calling someone boo-boo?
Boo-boo. Like, I just think it's fun. I think it's, like, real light.
It is.
It's not like Buttercup. It's not like...
If you have a deep voice, don't do it, because it's Yogi Bear.
Boo-boo.
Hey, boo-boo. Boo-boo.
It's also kind of Barack Obama.
Boo-boo.
Hey, boo-boo.
Boo-boo. Yeah. I would like to...
Oh, we need to keep this on topic. So
do we?
If Luke called Lorelai boo-boo, would it be weird?
I think so.
Damn it, boo-boo.
Hey, boo-boo, how about you stop it with the breastfeeding?
At Julia One, WUN on Twitter, ask, would you rather? This is a nice would you rather. We will accept would you rather questions. Not a lot of people ask them.
We'll also accept fuck, marry, kills.
FMKs.
Because someone has asked for one for, I don't remember who it was. It was Jess, Dean, and then someone else.
Tristan?
That's who it was.
Have we done it?
No, let's do it.
Okay, FMK.
Fuck, marry, kill.
That's the song.
Yep.
Sure.
Think of it like the BattleBots intro.
I would, gosh, this is tough.
Kill Tristan, fuck Jess, marry, and divorce Dean.
Yeah, I think so. I would have to kill Tristan.
Yeah.
Because Jess is better looking than Tristan is.
Although, now here's the thing.
Okay.
If Tristan exists in the world of first season Dean, then yeah, you got to kill Tristan. If Tristan exists in the world of second season Dean, it's a toss-up.
Between who you marry?
Between who you kill. And marry, I guess.
Marry.
Because I feel like...
Hey, Mary.
I wonder if Tristan would have become better if over time, you know? Whereas Dean is becoming worse over time, to the point that he is almost an abusive boyfriend.
Well, this is what I was wondering about, even in the car, too, when I was driving my little car on the way here.
Little red Honda.
Nope.
I don't know what you drive.
It's a Toyota. I was thinking about, I wonder, and we hope to get to the bottom of this when we have her on the show one day, but I wonder how much of the storytelling, because I always praise the show for having really good long-term storytelling. Nothing ever seems rushed or false or like, oops, we didn't plan for that. Uh-oh, I guess this is what we're doing now. Except maybe there's some missteps in season six, I will say. But overall, the story planning, the storytelling feels planned, and it always feels like you're in good hands.
Right.
But I wonder...
That's State Farm writing.
How much it was affected by actor schedules and them getting bigger and better offers to do other stuff. If Jess had not gotten Heroes, would he have stayed on Gilmore Girls?
Probably not.
You don't think?
I don't think they would have tried to establish someone so early on and then keep him for the rest of the run of the show. If they have a first boyfriend and they go to a second, there's going to be a third.
Right. I guess Heroes was like 2006.
Let me quickly correct myself because I will get tweets about this. Okay. It's Allstate, not State Farm.
Okay.
And also, Kevin Costner was also in.
No, oh, boy. Someone said this was our Charles Manson thing in 304. It was the Kevin Costner
Costner was so inoffensive. It was a small joke that I made every so
often. No, not in terms of offensiveness.
No,
in terms of
Charles Manson was okay, in terms of recurrence, yes. But in terms, like, Charles Manson was, like, purposefully sidetracked.
You said Manson.
I know. I'm plugging the podcast. It's happening. Charles Manson.
Oh, please don't. Otherwise, oh, so the would you rather from Julia was, would you rather go on a cross-country road trip with Jess in his busted car while he demonstrates close-up magic, or attend Sherry's baby shower where you have to participate in all the whack games?
So the thing about that is Sherry's baby shower would be over very quickly.
It would be like 4 hours tops.
Yeah, Jess's thing is probably multi-day.
Indefinite.
And it doesn't sound that bad. It really doesn't. Close-up magic is like a dorky thing, but also, is he driving and doing the magic?
Well, yeah, that's part of it. Is he's driving while trying to demonstrate. So you get in multiple accidents.
For sure. He gets in accidents.
No, we'll say he's in the passenger seat.
Okay, so I'm driving. I'm definitely going to hit the brakes at some point real hard and ruin his trick.
That'd be funny.
It would be great. Make for great TV.
And then you could like stop at Sonic, America's Drive-In,
mm-hmm.
Get some cherry cream slushes or
right.
something.
Get yourself a junior burger or a Coney.
Their ice is so good. Hey, no Coney. Stop the Coney.
Come on. I love Coney.
I love Coney's. You're going to be quoted on record saying you love Coney.
Hey, I 100% support Coney's.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay. Controversial opinion, especially after my Bin Laden thing.
I don't know. I don't think so. I think there's nothing better than a nice Coney with some some sauce on it.
Oh, the hot dog, dude.
Oh!
Whoa!
Okay.
Okay, so...
That sounded like a weird plug for Sonic. It wasn't.
It
Sonic
was.
Sucks.
No, we're looking for sponsorship.
From Sonic?
We love you. Come on the show.
Yeah, send us free Sonic.
Oh man, if we got sponsorship, even with like Shakey's, because there's a Shakey's down the street from us, that'd be amazing.
If we got sponsorship from across the street, oh brother.
Oh, we'd be in it too.
Okay.
Win it. This question comes from Rebecca.
Oh wait, I never answered the question.
Oh yeah.
I'd rather go on the cross country trip though, because I feel like I'd probably get along with Jess after a certain
time. If I could control the tunes.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. I would play Life is a Highway like once every hour just to piss him off. It would be so funny to me.
I would play this podcast where we're criticizing him, mm-hmm. and he'd be like, what is this? Can we go and get some ice cream and cones?
Wait a minute. So it was Rory that deviled my car? He'd have a lot of revelations.
Yeah, ooh, that would be interesting. Providing a new perspective. I would say road trip too if I could. Do the tunes.
We should say it on the count of three and then look at each other as if it's like a segue into a TV show, you know? where it's like,
say what?
You thinking what I'm thinking?
Road trip.
Exactly.
Life is a highway. That'd be fun. That'd be fun to do a Gilmore Guys road trip. Tour the world. via car. Rebecca Anderson on Facebook says, why did Sherry invite Lorelai into the party? After that speech about we don't need to be friends or anything, we covered that.
No idea.
She comes out to the car, which means she was basically waiting by the window and demanded that Lorelai come in, despite her obviously not wanting to. I think she did mean to rub the situation in Lorelai's face. Nah, oh, we already kind of covered that. I'll cut this out. Or maybe I won't.
You know what I will say is weird is her I'll stand in the way of the car thing. It wasn't like joking. Like she didn't smile when she said it.
And what did she say?
She was like, you have to. I'll stand in the way. I'll block the car with my body. And then she's like, oh, no, don't do that.
See, it's too intense. Too intense.
It was intense, but it was like it was supposed to be a playful thing.
Right.
But her face was rock solid.
Was
she is yep. like Werner Herzog. Like she'll joke, but you will never be able to tell.
Never cross her.
I'll block the car with my body.
Electro lemon.
If you want to leave this area, you will have to create a murder scene.
Any other stray observations from the show? Anything we didn't go over?
She said something like, so it's a girl, and then Christopher would have been happy with either, but I wanted a ballerina. She said it as if it were her choice. That was weird to me.
Well, she's trying to make everything her choice. The C-section scheduled for 5 o'clock on Saturday. And
very
blah, blah, blah.
Weird. Yeah. Very weird.
Very regimented. She's very type A, as we can see. Type A lady. I feel like, is there any other meat and potatoes from that party scene that we're not really fully exploring? Other than it is so funny how like little of a poker face Lorelai has
mm-hmm.
in all those scenes where she's
then with
like,
Rory, she looks like bummed out.
Yeah. And Sherry's just like, cool, let's play another game. And right. She doesn't like pick up on it.
She looks like she's on the verge of tears when she starts singing Babyface.
Rory?
Yeah.
She probably was. Yeah. Alexis probably was. Alexis Bledel. Man, after that performance, maybe we'll play that at the end of the episode.
Oh, boy.
But she should really put out an album of standards, of like jazz standards and stuff.
Ain't that a kick in the pants?
And the kick in the pants. That's what it would sound like.
That's true. All right.
So, also, let's just talk about the final moment of the Gilmore Girls walking by Jess's car and being like, I was home. I have an alibi. And Jess is like, what the F?
Yeah.
And it's just like, and like the fun music's playing. It's like, the Gilmore Girls are mean.
That's exactly what I thought. It was like when the thing with the snowman happened.
Yeah.
And they just leave and it's like, how awesome. And I was like, no. Yeah. What?
Very similar.
I would say. Yeah.
Hmm. Well, let's rate the app.
Let's rate the app. Oh, you know what? So this was a fun episode. It story-wise wasn't a big changer. It made me like Jess a little. It gave me the funniest scene.
True.
It was very, the baby shower was very strange. I felt like I can't read Sherry despite feeling like we should have been able to by this point. I'm going to give it a solid 7 out of 10 deviled eggs. Nope, deviled eggs is not clever enough. 7 out of 10 baby diapers full of ammonia.
And that's exactly what I was going to
really?
Say. Really? Yeah. Well, not full of ammonia, but baby diapers.
Birds of a feather.
I enjoyed it. I did find it. I didn't enjoy it. Who wrote this episode? It was a Daniel Palladino episode, right?
Yeah.
And so a lot of it was really funny and really enjoyable in that sense. But I wonder if the Jess situation could just be handled with more grace than they're doing it, where everyone's just suddenly bagging on him so much with no warrant or less warrant than usual in this episode. So yeah. I think they could have handled that better. But overall, I still really enjoyed it. And I didn't enjoy the Sherry party thing because I just feel like Lorelai got beaten down. And we were supposed to feel bad for her. And you do. But then the outlet is, so someone hurt you. So let's hurt someone else's property.
Right. Like someone unrelated to the situation.
It's like what my therapist friend says. Hurting people hurt people.
Also, it didn't seem like like she needed catharsis when they were in the car, you know?
Roy did like she, more than Laura.
Yeah, exactly.
So do they, she was probably seizing upon the moment.
Is this the end of the deviled egg thing? Does it come back in the next episode
no.
at all?
Ugh. No, there's no continuity.
That's frustrating.
Is it?
It is.
Do you think it's a big enough thing that it would need to be?
No, I just want them to like realize that
take responsibility for their actions.
Yeah, I want Jess to still be like upset about it and Rory to be like, that's a bummer. And then Jess finds out and then they argue about it and then they kiss or something.
Oh, well, actually, dude. Just kidding. That doesn't happen.
Oh, no, I figured.
Or does it? I don't know. Who? Okay.
No. No.
So I give it 6.8 out of 10 ripped mystery protest banners. And that's the rating. And now it's time for Where You Tweet, I Will Follow. Anywhere. Then you tell me to. I am at Kevin T. Porter on Instagram and Twitter. And that's all you need to know. My email address is...
Whoa, Kevin, cut that out.
Okay.
Cut that out.
Okay, I will.
Yeah. That was ridiculous. I am at Electro Lemon on...
Electro Lemon.
On Twitter and Instagram.
And the show is at Gilmore Guys Show on most of the platforms. On Twitter, on Instagram, Facebook.com/Gilmore Guys Show, SoundCloud.com/Gilmore-Guys. And then you can check out WeGilly.com if you want to gab and talk in the forums, hang out. And then you can email us for our Gilmore Guys shows and just for fun, too. GilmoreGuysShow@gmail.com. I forgot our email address for half a second.
We're going to say yours again.
And that's it for this ep. The next ep, guys, we got big things planned. And hopefully they'll come to fruition.
I was about to say.
I know. I've really built this up because I said in an episode previous, 307 is going to be good.
Mm.
But the episode itself is really great and really enjoyable. And Demi, I hope you love it because I've built it up way too much and out of proportion with how much you may enjoy it. But we'll see. But until then, we'll just keep hoping and dreaming. And until next time.
If you're out on the road,
it's strong,
feeling lonely and so cold, all you have to do is call my name and I'll be there on the next train. Choo-choo. Where you lead, I will follow anywhere that you tell me to. If you need, me to be with, I will follow. Oh, oh, oh. Where you lead, I will follow.
Not tender.
Anywhere that you tell me to. If you need, me to be with you, I will follow where you lead. I like that song.
I like that song.
Yeah.